Welcome to the program. Okay, Sam Rogofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC. No. Don't despair. I've been fielding this all week. Been listening to people hand-wringing over this failure to indict Hillary Clinton. I told you this was what was going to happen. And I also told you that this is the right outcome. But Sam, what do you mean? Well, let's get into it. Comey gets up there. He gives his statement. And one of the things you've got to realize is that when you have prepared remarks like this about an issue that has such intense scrutiny, every word in the prepared remark, in the prepared remarks matters. The absence of words matter. Okay? So let's get back to what happened last week before we get into what Comey said. So you know what happened on the tarmac there at in Arizona, Phoenix Airport. And I'll tell you kind of, I'll set the scene, because if you've missed it or you've heard some references to Bill Clinton and Loretta Lynch meeting on board, I believe, her government-owned, paid-for private jet. And yes, that's right. If you're the Attorney General of the United States, you get to fly around on a taxpayer-funded private jet. Not a bad deal. You also get a taxpayer-funded FBI protection detail. Not a bad deal. Can you imagine how those rank and file FBI guys felt as they are there protecting the Attorney General of the United States, who is ostensibly conducting an independent probe of Hillary Clinton, but not just Hillary Clinton, also Bill Clinton, because there's two parallel probes running. One is the email probe. The other, and we are forgetting about this because it hasn't been in the news, but believe me, it will be back in the news, is the Clinton Family Foundation. And this thing will be news. It, mark my words, it's going to be news as this email thing is appearing to go up in smoke, although not exactly. Again, I'll get to that in a minute. So here are the FBI agents that are protecting Loretta Lynch, Attorney General. Of course, it's a political position, but ostensibly independent. Right? And so she meets with Bill Clinton on the tarmac. And it never would have gotten out had it not been for some local TV reporter snaps a pic, airs it on local Phoenix TV. They think they're fine. You know, they think they're off on the side of the airport. You know, this is not in a public area. I want to stress this. These private planes, and especially the government private planes, are able to park outside and away from the public terminals. But it's a secure area. You can't just walk onto that tarmac. You need security clearances and all that. So it's a restricted area. So while you may think that this meeting is occurring in an airport, in a public place, it's not. Moreover, it's occurring in a very, it's in a restricted area on a private plane, and we're paying for it. So everyone up in arms about this, you know, how could this be? Is this absurd? Da, 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 da. And here's the thing. It's obvious that so Bill Clinton has a past relationship. There is a relationship between him and Loretta Lynch, and her first job, her first federal prosecutorial job, was given her by none other than President Bill Clinton. So they have a history. Yeah, right. She's going to indict Hillary. It's not going to happen. You can't. It never was going to happen. And here's how we know. You remember when, so Comey delivers his press conference. It's about 8 o'clock our time. It's early in the morning our time, but it's 11 a.m. back in Washington. By the time Comey is delivering his remarks, and this is important, Hillary is already on Air Force One with Obama on the way down to North Carolina. And no one's really talking about this. You know, all week I'm listening to the news and I want to get to, and everybody says, you know, Hillary's lying and, you know, that, you know, she should have been indicted, but nobody's talking about the Obama connection. And this is what I think is so critical, because Comey in his prepared remarks begins right away, says, lays out, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to talk about. And he goes out of his way to say this. He says, I have not coordinated or reviewed this statement in any way with the Department of Justice, read Loretta Lynch, or any other part of the government. They do not know what I'm about to say. Now, you might have heard that and said, oh, yeah, well, that's okay. All right. So, either you said, I don't believe him, or you're taking him at his word that they don't know what he's about to say. But this is back to what I was saying. The words matter here. It's not, he says, I have not coordinated or reviewed the statement, but I guarantee you that Obama and Loretta Lynch and everybody knew exactly what was going to be the result of this inquiry from the beginning, at least a few days before the statement was given. Now, how do I know that? Because while the statement is happening, Hillary is on Air Force One with Obama on the way to a Hillary campaign event in North Carolina. Do you understand? And to make this clear, when the president travels, it requires days of advanced planning. Well, I mean, the amount of machinery, manpower. You know, when the president travels, it's not just Air Force One that moves from place to place, but there's an advanced team that goes. And they carry over whatever equipment, including even helicopters. You know, if the president travels somewhere, it requires for him to land on Air Force One and then take Marine One, Marine helicopters to transport the president. They actually ship those helicopters, even if it's overseas. They fold up the propellers and move them overseas. The point being is that it takes advanced planning to move the president. And he had no other business in North Carolina except for Hillary's campaign event. So what's the reasonable conclusion? The reasonable thing here is that Obama knew. There's no way that Obama would appear with Hillary Clinton at a campaign event if Comey was to be getting up that week and saying, yeah, you know what, we recommend that she get indicted. There's just no way he could have done that. He could not have spent that kind of political capital. Not a guy like Obama. And so that's why I know that the fix was in, because Obama knew, and he may, you know, I take, even if you take James Comey, FBI director, at his word that he did not tell members of the administration what he, you know, what he had in his statement. They certainly knew that Hillary was not going to get indicted, was not going to be recommended for prosecution. So the actual substance of these, you know, and I think the part that Comey's referring to is the tongue lashing that he gives Hillary. He probably didn't share that with anybody. But the critical thing is there Obama is at the rally. He's there with Hillary. And by the way, did you see how he got the case of the stutters? It was all over the news. I mean, he gets up there, he starts talking about Trump, and Obama, who's typically so glib, just starts, I mean, just stutters all over himself. It was great. But there is, you have to trust me on this. There is no way that Obama would have put his arm around Hillary, endorsed her, put her at the lectern, right, at the lectern, and, you know, and he used the presidential seal, which is another scandal in and of itself. You know, it's considered bad form if you're president campaigning for re-election to go to campaign events and use the presidential seal. Because the office of president, at least in theory, is above politics. Right. And I think actually Obama made a big to-do about this, didn't he? When he ran for re-election and he was running against Mitt Romney, he made a big to-do about how he wasn't going to do that. And for the most part, ran with, you know, had his hope and change slogan on his podiums whenever he spoke at campaign rallies. But so they're just the amount of preparation that takes. So they must have known at least a week in advance. So then what of it? The reality is, and this is why I don't want you to despair about this. It's the best possible outcome. This investigation, and I'll get into it in the next segment here. This investigation was enormously damaging to Hillary. There is no question that the results that are outlined by Comey will be devastating and will haunt her to the end of the campaign. And when I saw this press conference, and I know some of you might have been watching it saying, oh, but he's going to, now comes the good part, he's going to recommend. No, the more I saw, and it's body language too, the more you see how upset he is and how, and what a beating he gives her. And outlines all her crimes. And yes, they were crimes. And then says, but I recommend that we not prosecute. It was clear that that was what was going to happen. And when I watched that and I heard that line, here's what I thought. This election is Trump's to lose. And it is. And I am going to tell you why. Because it's not going to be the FBI and it's not going to be the Department of Justice that puts Hillary on trial. It's going to be Trump. And it's going to happen on national television and it's going to be fun. Back after this. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
This is Sweet James Bergener. I listen to Sam Nation.
No trigger warnings. We don't give those here on the program. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation. Continuing on the Clinton email saga. And I know, look, it's not over. This is going to haunt her to the very end. It will. And the best possible outcome for all of you out there who are just discombobulated, hand-wringing over the lack of justice. I sympathize with you, but I have to tell you, imagine what would happen if the recommendation from Comey was to indict. Because remember, Loretta Lynch, you know, this is Bill Clinton's jet pal. Loretta Lynch, Attorney General, after that meeting of hers with Billy was intruded upon by some enterprising reporter, local TV reporter in Phoenix, Arizona. She gets up and she says, you know what? I'm throwing my hands up. And what I'm going to say, look, I will take whatever recommendation the FBI gives me. There you go. I'm out of it. I'm independent. And, you know, and the media say, oh, this is excellent. This is arm's length and this is absolutely the proper thing to do. And as soon as I heard that, I knew what was happening. Because there's no way that Obama would let Hillary get indicted. It is just not possible. What would happen? And this is where I think that this is where the Democratic Party has committed such a terrible strategic blunder. Beginning with their obviously ham-fisted attempts to get Hillary the nomination against popular will. Yes, I know. She got a lot of the votes. I understand that. But the superdelegate thing and all the superdelegates getting behind Hillary, I'm not saying it's rigged for Hillary. I'm not even saying, because I understand that, and I've explained this to you before, if you're a Bernie voter, and I'm sorry, you're an idiot. But look, if you're a Bernie voter and you're mad about the whole Hillary thing, it's not rigged. That same system put Obama on the ticket. OK, Okay, he got the nod, he got the nomination because of that same system. They did not change any rules for Hillary. What I'm talking about is all the superdelegates going full in for Hillary. Hillary is the establishment candidate for the Democratic Party. She is. And here's the issue. I saw this from the beginning as this would be the ultimate rogue move to get her indicted and remove her from the ticket. Because, I mean, I don't think it would be possible for her. There are only two outcomes here. If she gets indicted, one, the Democratic Party could say, well, this is just a Republican witch hunt, a vast right-wing conspiracy. Remember that term? Well, you know, Comey, you know, he's actually the Bush appointee. And so, you know, so they could, you know, they could play it that way. But I don't think that's a winner. They would have to drop her. And then the Democratic Party would have an opportunity of a lifetime to pick a candidate that isn't mortally wounded. Has there ever been a scandal-ridden candidate, major party running in the last 20 years? I can't think of it. It's unfathomable. And I'll put it to you this way. If you were Hillary Clinton, or you were Donald Trump, or Mitt Romney, or Obama in 2008, and you were vetting a vice presidential candidate, and you know that's what they do right now. There's a lot of talk about who's Trump. You know. Well, we know kind of what's going on there. But look, he's as you're picking your vice presidential candidate, you're looking at their financial records. You're looking at not just their taxes. You're looking at them way more than that. You're interviewing their friends and family, their acquaintances. Okay, the big deal. There is no way that Hillary would even be able to vet for vice president. Nobody would have her. So the Democratic Party had an opportunity of a lifetime to dump her. And they didn't. Which raises interesting questions. So you're wondering who. Well, I'm telling you that an Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, or Joe Biden, just to name three, I think are far more capable of beating Donald Trump in the general election than Hillary. Who likes Hillary? When you go to the office and you're at the water cooler and you're talking to your Democrat friend, what is she telling you? Is she going, wow, I'm just so happy that Hillary, I just love Hillary. I'm so, my gosh, this is going to be the best thing ever. No, your Democrat friend is saying, I guess I'll just, well, Trump, you know, that guy, he's just a racist. He's a racist. He's a homophobe. He's a anti-Semite. He's a hate. Okay, so what do you like about Hillary? Well, I mean, you know, she's... Nobody's happy about Hillary. It's a begrudging anti-Trump vote. And on the Trump side, I know, look, they have unfavorables. They both have unfavorables. I've talked about this before. But Trump has a fan base. He has people that are excited about his candidacy. And on balance, when you take somebody who has zero excitement behind them and someone who has a lot of excitement behind them, that's what tips the scales. It does. And so the Democrats could have now, I keep thinking, if they had known about everything being as bad as it is now about Hillary, would they have, would some of these elections, right, would some of these primaries have gone a different way? Possibly. And what do I mean here? You know it's bad as a Democrat when the AP, Associated Press, which, by the way, is basically a shill for the Democratic Party and every left-wing cause there ever was. You know it's bad when the AP is fact-checking your BS. And in a devastating piece earlier this week, the AP went through all of Clinton's statements, some of which were made under oath in Congress and basically debunked them all. I mean, so for example, Clinton at a news conference, probably the last one she gave back in March 2015, I did not email any classified material to anyone on my email. There is no classified material. Well, Comey breaks it down, doesn't he? He says there's top secret, secret, and confidential. And what did they find? 110 emails in 52 email chains were considered classified when they were sent or received. Bang! There it is. And many of them. Now, so that Clinton also says, I just thought it would be easier to carry one device, to have one device instead of two. Meaning, one device, her personal email account. And for personal, right? I mean, not government work. And one for the State Department. But Comey goes through this and says, look, hey, we found numerous devices all running through her homebrew server. So that's kind of a big deal, too. She's not just playing this to consolidate her, you know, make her life easier. She's doing this, let me tell you this, to be clear. She's deliberately evading something called the Freedom of Information Request Laws. And what is that? You know that if you're a government, and that we do this for transparency in our government, we want our government to be accountable to us. And in a democracy, that's crucial, which means that except for top secret classified stuff, we, the people, are entitled to see what our government is doing. Except for top secret stuff, proceedings, governmental proceedings, there's a gallery in Congress, right? It's there for a reason. We should be able to visit our Capitol and see what is happening. And the same is true for email communications, letters, and such. And so the media can make requests, or even you and I can make requests to see this type of communication. Well, if you're Clinton, you're running your crime family foundation, and you don't want anybody to see any of your stuff because you know you're up to no good, what do? That's right. You set up your own email server. And Comey talks about how, you know, even Gmail has more protections. Gmail does something. Now, this is important. Why didn't she just use a Gmail account? Why did she go through all that trouble of setting up her own server at her house? I have an answer for you, and it's in Comey's statement. Gmail does something that her server didn't. It archives mail. And what is archiving? Archiving means that it takes all the messages come through and saves them somewhere. And Hillary didn't want that. And so ask yourself, why not? Because there are messages that she did not want seen. And those messages, let me tell you, those messages, it's why is our Secretary of State conducting business that she doesn't want us to see? Imagine if she'd been indicted and this candidate there was a different candidate running against Trump. So here's what's going to happen. No Republican candidate. I am so happy that it's Trump and not Jeb Bush running against Hillary. Because can you imagine? Do you know what Trump is going to do to her? Hillary is going to wish she was indicted. I'm telling you, a federal prosecutor is going to be Diet Coke light compared to what Trump is going to do to her. These debates are going to be brutal. This is crazy. And I can't wait for this. So when we get back, let's talk about some people who have done less and had a lot more happen to them. People that should have gone to, people that went to jail. It's crazy. Back after this. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
What are you doing this weekend?
I'm James Bergener, and I'm listening to Sam Nation right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Hey, remember Michigan and all their crappy water? Well, guess what? Turns out, look no further than Washington, D.C. Lawmakers are being tested for potential lead poisoning. That's right, congressmen and women being tested for lead after it is found in the water in the U.S. Capitol office water fountains. Now, I'm just assuming these good people are drinking their Smart Waters and their Fiji Waters and their Pellegrinos. But for those congressmen that are slumming it and drinking from the water fountains, they might be in trouble. I know what they need to do. Rob over here is nodding. That's right. Well, that's they ought to call Sweet James. Yeah, I mean, it's an injury. And it's not, you know, and it may not be a car accident, but yeah, look, somebody's responsible. And that's what you do. Like, now, Attorney James Bergener, friends call him Sweet James, there's a reason for that. He's a compassionate guy. He's a fighter. He's somebody that's going to take care of you, take care of your case, and fight all the way. And sometimes the person responsible is a big guy, you know? Might be a big insurance company. Might be the government. Might be the police. Might be a city. Might be a big corporation. No fight is too small or too big for James. And what you want when you're up against something like this is you don't want to do it on your own. You just want to you want to turn it over to a professional. I want to turn it over to somebody who does this every day, who loves what he does, and who loves helping people just like you. So, here's what you do. You think you've been injured? 1-800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021, or visit sweetjames.com. Well, okay, so you think Hillary is the only one who thinks she's above the law. And, you know, I think why this is so troubling. So people are really upset. I'm telling you, everywhere I go this week, people are coming to me and they're just really upset about this because we have such a strong notion in this country that no one is above the law. Sam, now, why do you think Hillary is mortally wounded by this? Why do you think that this election now, of all times, is Trump's to lose? Because look at what the themes are running through this primary process. Going back 1 year, and you know this is true, going back 1 year, the anger across America is with career politicians thinking they're better than us. The reason a kook like Bernie Sanders, whose only job, as we've chronicled on this program, is that he ran some pornographic magazine into the ground. By the way, I think he's the only person who didn't make money in porn. The only reason a guy like him has a following is because not just libertarian conservatives, but left-wing Democrats are frustrated to pieces over the fact that their government thinks that they're above them. Little people are starting to feel very little. And the boogeyman, let me tell you, the boogeyman is not as, and this is where Bernie's philosophy falls apart. It's disingenuous to say that the boogeyman is capitalism, because capitalism is fundamentally empowering. There is no system on this earth that allows for upward mobility of the type that we have in our system, in a capitalist system. Where capitalism becomes rigged, if you will, is where big corporations form secret bonds with big government and create a statist culture, okay? Statism, where there's no room for little enterprise, where the big company wants to keep it all. Because you know what? When you have, and I got to explain this to you, if you don't know this already, when you have lots and lots and lots of government regulation, that is good for big business. It's good for big business because big regulation keeps small business from competing. You can't start a little business. You can't be a guy that has an idea and start a little business if it's really difficult to get a license to run that business, if it's really difficult to comply with all the state and federal law, if it's very difficult to hire employees. That's bad. And you've got to understand that this is where the extreme left, the Bernie Sanders supporters, and the right-wing libertarian people are agreeing. They don't understand why. Okay, and maybe you didn't realize this either. But on the right, people realize, wise people realize that big regulations is bad for upward mobility because of the reasons I just said. And on the left, they have some vague feeling that there's some collusion and that there's these career politicians selling them on pipe dreams and then nothing ever happens. They don't feel heard. But it stems from the same thing. What do you think this whole Clinton Family Foundation thing is all about? And what do you think this email thing is all about? You know, it's being described as two separate investigations. Well, I have news for you. It's not. It's one thing. The reason Hillary wanted to keep her email secret is because in those communications, in those emails that Comey described were deleted, but perhaps not on purpose or for any particular reason, right? The reason she's deleting and hiding her emails and doesn't want them subject to Freedom of Information requests is because she's running her family foundation as a pay-to-play deal. What do you think it's just a coincidence that, you know, that Saudis give her $20 million to the Clinton Family Foundation charity, quote unquote, and then the next thing she approves some deal with the Saudis and oil and the government? You think that's just some like coincidence? It's not. And I bet those deleted emails, have exactly these dealings detailed in them. The same with China. You know, the specific trade deal that she's been pushing? She wasn't for it at first. And then she's for it once she gets very large campaign contributions. Well, I got campaign. They're Clinton family contributions. And so they're using this fund to cash in on favors that they're giving, official favors that she's giving on behalf of the U.S. government when she was Secretary of State. There's been no Secretary of State that has sold her office the way she has. And so here's the deal. Trump knows it. He's locked on it. That speech he gave a few weeks ago, we went through this program, and if you didn't hear it, go back. It's couple weeks, what was it, 2-3 weeks ago, Robbie? It's on the podcast on samnation.com. Download it, because we go through the Trump speech and it's devastating. He knows, he's locked on it, laser focused, and he, I'm telling you, will undress Hillary in a way. That's right, her pantsuit. What is it? Liar, liar, pantsuit on fire. He is going to cream her. And the thing is, it's almost more devastating because now there's two groups of people out there. Republicans who are enraged that the Clintons have gotten away with another crime. But for the first time in history, the Clintons have lost control over a significant portion of the Democratic Party. I am seeing Democrats all over my Facebook feed, enraged that Hillary Clinton is getting away with this. And yes, these are Bernie Sanders people. And yes, this is the takeaway here. These Bernie Sanders people, they may not understand, and believe me, look, if you like Bernie Sanders, you don't understand the finer points of any economy. I'd send you back to some, you know, math boot camp, like, straight away. But they understand a rigged system when they see it. Look, they feel it. Now, we here on the program, we don't deal with feelings. We deal with what we know, and we understand that it's rigged, and we understand why. But they are willing to swallow. They are so mad at Hillary right now that if the election were held today, my guess is at least 30 to 40% of Bernie Sanders voters would vote for Trump. Because to them, he is more anti-establishment than Hillary is. And their vote is an anti-establishment vote. They don't want a rigged system. And what we're experiencing here, and this is crucial, is a rebirth of our American democracy, which was always based on equal protection, rights for everybody, and an equal standing under the law. And so I'm telling you right now, we are in a very special time. And this election is Trump's to lose because, barring him doing something crazy come November, it's a landslide. No question. So are Hillary Clinton's troubles, though, on this email front over? They're not. And I'm going to tell you why in the next segment. There might be another investigation related to it. And it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And it's not going to be pretty. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KABC.
This is Sweet James Bergener. I listen to Sam Nation every weekend.
Oh, Hillary and her tweets. You know, everybody's talking about Trump and all his terrible tweets, but boy, for somebody who has clearly some professional help in tweeting, Hillary steps in it more than anybody I know. Going back, when is this? January 2016, she's kissing up to Bernie voters. That's what she's doing. And she tweets, there should be no bank too big to fail and no individual too big to jail. Har, har, har. Yeah, so that seems kind of a funny side note here. So what's going to happen now? What's the next step in this email probe? Guess what? She lied to Congress. And Comey, I don't know if you caught it, but on Thursday, Comey gave a testimony in front of Congress. And Congress is focused on this now because Hillary Clinton went there. She went to Congress and had to testify about her emails. Remember this? So these aren't just comments that she gave. She didn't just answer questions and deny things to the media. This is the thing. Hillary can lie to us. She can lie to us. But you can't lie when you're giving testimony under oath. You can refuse to testify. It's called the Fifth Amendment. We have the right to not incriminate ourselves. So if you're asked, did you do X? And you know you did it. You can say, I plead the Fifth. I'm not going to testify. But what you can't do is say, no, I didn't, when in fact you did. And it's a knowing false statement. Knowing false statement. So now, the issue is going to be she's went to Capitol Hill. And of course, it was a giant political stunt because everything the Clintons do is a giant political stunt. Back then she was hoping to just nail this thing and get it done and over with and not have any issues. And so she gets up. And she says to Congress that she never sent any classified information. She never sent any top secret information from her email or received any on her email. And believe me, the Republicans in Congress asking these questions were asking some very specific questions. And a number of these congressmen are former prosecutors, so they know how to ask questions. They know how to get witnesses into a corner. It's what lawyers do. And so they got her in all sorts of little corners. And of course, the optics of it, when you've got a person running for office, they can't get up there and plead the fifth. That kind of looks bad. And this is classic Clinton. It's true for Bill, it's true for Hillary. Classic Clinton move is you just think you're going to skate. And you know you know why you think it. Because these people have skated from everything. And I'll get to, there's a critical difference here between Bill and Hillary. I'll get to that here in a little bit. So if you're just tuning in, we're talking about this email thing and what happens next. Because now we know she's not going to get prosecuted for sending and receiving classified information, even though she did it. So what happens next? Congress, she testified in Congress and she lied. Well, let's talk about that. She said she didn't send anything that was classified. So now what Congress has done is they have asked the FBI to open a new investigation into whether Hillary perjured herself, committed perjury in Congress when she testified to them. And the FBI is going to have to ultimately investigate this. They're going to have to look at it because there are procedures by which the FBI must look into things that are brought to them by members of Congress. A committee is just like a court proceeding. So people are sworn in, they have to tell the truth, they're under oath, and that's what happens. And in this investigation now is a little bit different, isn't it? Remember Scooter Libby? You know, it was the whole Valerie Plame leak scandal. Scooter Libby, he's the aide to Cheney. And in the end, he's convicted not of disseminating state secrets and failing to maintain state secrets, but he's convicted of lying to the FBI or to the special prosecutor. Because you can't do that either. Can't lie to the FBI. Can't lie to a special prosecutor, federal prosecutor. Can't do it. So here, the question is going to be, did she lie to the investigators? And did she lie to Congress? And again, I'm going to tell you this. And you heard it here from me, and you'll remember when it all happens. It's not going to go anywhere. But what it does is it keeps the scandal in the news. It continues to taint her and follow her. Like, it's just it continues the cloud. And it's going to get exploited, of course. Because at every turn, and Trump has already zeroed on it. Remember in the primaries when he would, he had a nickname for everybody. Low Energy Jeb. Little Marco. I mean, the thing about the nicknames were is they were really good. I know you think that they were belittling. You think they were unpresidential. You think I get that. But they were just wickedly good because, well, Rubio looked like a little Marco up there. He did. It was just once he said it, it just stuck. And he's been nailing this crooked Hillary thing and it's sticking. And every time Hillary does something or some more news comes out that shows her to be crooked, to be untruthful, to be tainted by scandal, the more the nickname it takes on a life of its own. And at the end, this is the thing. At the end, there are a number of voters who are just not going to want to go there. And all Trump has to do is just stay above the fray. So if I was Paul Manafort and I was his new campaign manager, there would be a little room where I would be sitting Trump down and saying, look, 90% of what you're doing is perfect. Take this 10% and just instead of tweeting it, why don't you text it to me? You know, just shoot me a text. Because I know you want to get it out. I know you're thinking it. But there it is. I'm going to talk about it tomorrow. So please tune in. We're going to be back here tomorrow, Sunday night at 6 p.m. I'll tell you about my trip to Canada, but it was funny because everywhere I went in Canada, and I did bring my Trump socks. I'll have you know, I brought my Trump socks to Canada. and I'll tell you how that all went down. But look, everywhere in Canada, it's like, Trump. They can't even say his name. Racist. You really? What now? Tell me, why is he a racist? Well, that tweet, all Mexican, you know, you've heard it. It's so it's just all the stuff that's said about him is untrue. That's not what, so I'd have the conversation. That's not what the tweet says. And in the end of the conversation, they didn't have anywhere to go. They still didn't like Trump, but they didn't have anywhere to go because you could make the argument. You can't make the argument with Hillary. You can't. She had 113 classified emails in her email system. And who knows how many more she deleted, right? There's 33,000 emails that are missing that just happened to poof, gone. Because, you know, those were all personal messages or spam. Right. This is what is crazy. Hillary has no place to go with the allegations against her. And Trump does, because he can fall back on a record that vindicates him. Hillary has no such advantage. But Sam, what do you mean? What do you mean? What record does Trump have? I mean, he bankrupts every company. He's a terrible, fires people. He's blowhard. Really? You want to talk about Mar-a-Lago? Did you guys hear about this? Mar-a-Lago is the former home of Marjorie Meriwether Post. Now, she's the Post serial heiress. Very, very wealthy woman, if not the wealthiest woman in America in her time. She's one of the major benefactors to the Smithsonian Museum. And she had built this beautiful home in Palm Beach, and Trump ends up buying it, converting it into a country club. There's a golf course there, da-da-da-da-da. But this is in the 90s. And guess what? You know something about Palm Beach? Bunch of libs out there too, right? Every one of those social clubs is restricted. They don't talk about it, but they don't allow Jews and they don't allow blacks. And everybody knows it. And Trump's Mar-a-Lago was the first private club, the first country club in Palm Beach that accepted blacks and accepted Jews. Now you tell me that, it wasn't politics. He wasn't running for office. No, he wasn't. This was 20 years ago. This is who Trump is. That's the record that he can fall back on. And Hillary has simply no such advantage. And what will happen between now and the November election? We don't know the half of it yet. There will be more stories about her hacked server, because Comey says we have no evidence that it was hacked. Well, let me explain to you what that means, okay? It means they don't have any evidence that it wasn't hacked. Okay, they can't prove that it wasn't hacked. And in fact, he goes on to talk about how the server was, she used her email in places that she shouldn't have. She used it in hostile territories. Everybody had her email address. Even countries that actively spy on us had her email address. It'd be very easy to hack it. So it's very possible it happened. And more evidence of this is going to come out. And what's going to happen next, I predict this, is the FBI investigators, the people that spent a year investigating this, who worked overtime, who were away from their families, who missed out on birthdays and holidays, working this case, only to have her walk away from it scot-free. I am telling you right now, right here, there are people that are going to come out and are going to start talking. And when they do, Hillary Clinton is not going to come out of this smelling like roses. So this election is Trump's to lose. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation. Yeah, look, find us, all of our information, our Twitter, our Instagram, go to samnation.com. Email me, sam at samnation.com. Yeah, that's our homebrew server. That's right. Email us, Sam Orzovsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC.